You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 167. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Dude, I was telling you off air, and I will share the story on
Please
air.
Please
Today has not been, it did not start off great. The kids woke me up at 6:58 in the morning. And for some of you out there, that may not be early, but for me, that is. I tend to sleep till 7:30. That's when I know I'm getting up, so I go to sleep knowing that I can go to sleep at 11:30 and get a full 8 hours.
Good.
Except that when I get up at 6:58, because the two of them are fighting over what to wear. It's insane. The two of them are at 6:58. I want to wear this. No, I want to wear it. It's 6:58. I should be asleep still for another 32 minutes. What are you? Get back to your rooms now. Ah, it was a rough start to the day.
That's brutal, man. I don't wish that on anybody. That's a tough start to wake up a half hour before your alarm to a fight. Not good.
It's kind of like when I used to have cats.
Okay.
I remember living in an apartment and I had two cats, Scout, and I forget what the other cat's name was. It wasn't mine, so like whatever. And they would always come to my room at like 30, 40 minutes. And a cat owner's out there is going to say the same thing, 30 or 40 minutes before, and they just scratch at the door. And then when you wake up and go, what do you want? And they run away.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Just tell me, please. I just want to go back to sleep because they would come back and scratch again and meow.
Oh,
annoying.
Oh, my God. Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Cats are the worst sometimes. What's up with you, man?
Okay. I got a good story that I could share. Self-confidence took a huge dip, and I'll explain why.
Uh-oh.
So last night, before I get into the story, don't buy anything from Bob's Discount Furniture. That place stinks. Stinks. So about a month ago, I have a bed that's maybe like 2 years old.
A bed. The new bed?
A bed frame. Yeah, you remember when I got the bed. That was what, like 2 years ago, maybe?
Has it been 2 years?
A year and a half. I think it was Christmas of, not 2019, 2018. So it's coming
Dude,
up on 2 years.
Dude, it feels like a week ago that you got this thing.
Right.
Anyways, okay.
Right. Big topic of discussion on the EOI podcast. So the bars that like go across that hold the what do you call it in place?
The frame?
No. Well, it's a part of the frame, but it holds, like, what goes under the mattress?
The box spring.
Yeah, it holds the box spring in place. Well, they broke. All of, like,
already?
Metal. Snapped. Like, bent in. Concave. So,
in
the middle of the night last night, I'm sleeping, and then I just feel boom. And I'm, like, folded in like a taco. Like, it's just, like, it's literally, my bed is concave. So, I'm, like, F this. Like, it's God knows what hour, 3 a.m. So I'm like, I'm just going to roll out the rest of the day or the rest of the night, 2.5 more hours, 3 hours more sleep, and I'll worry about this tomorrow. So today, I ripped out those bars going across. So now I have just the box spring on the floor and the mattress on top of that. Some real ghetto stuff, but it's that's going to have to do for now because I am tired of becoming concave when trying to sleep in my own bed.
That sounds awful.
Yes.
That's the worst.
Yep. So that's the thing.
And so Bob's Discount Furniture wasn't ready to help you out with that?
No, well, I don't have
a warranty or anything.
One, I think it was only a year warranty. Two, I didn't even buy it. It was a gift for myself.
Oh.
And that person is no longer like in my life. So it's
gotcha.
Like, it's just a whole thing. So yeah, I don't know. I'm SOL.
Oh man. Well, new bed frame. Yay.
Fantastic. So add that to the list. Let's get into the Islanders. We're talking about kids and bed frames. Let's get into the Islanders here, Mitch. A lot to get to. We're going to start off though with down on the farm. So I want to give you a ton of credit. Not that I don't already, but you've been doing a ton of work with the prospects. Mad props to you. I love following along every single day and looking at the prospect report. So let's do it for the podcast. Let's get where everyone's at, how they're doing. Let's get into it.
All right. Well, thank you for that. So I bet a lot on KHL games, pulled out a big one today. Big for me anyways.
Right.
It's a $3 win.
Hey, there you go.
Anyways, I put $3 down. Anyways, I don't need to get it. I watch a lot of KHL, and I found myself, like, waiting for, like, KHL games at 12, and then I saw, like, Mestis games were on, sometimes SHL games, and I was like, well, we have guys there, so why don't I watch some of this stuff? And then I started following along with that, and it snowballed into every day I'm following along who's playing and what time and what they've been doing. So let's get it. Where do you want to start? You want to start in Finland, Sweden, or in Russia? Because that's really the three.
Let's go Russia first and work our way back.
Okay, so like there are prospects playing in that could play in other leagues, but none of those leagues are playing currently. The only other one is William Tfu, who's playing for the Voltigeurs in the QMJHL, but the QMJHL has been on pause until today, although that has been extended. I don't know up until when. I believe until November 14th. So gotcha. He's not playing for a while still. So forget them. Just concentrate on what's going on here. Here as in Russia. So, first off, in Russia, all we have is Anatoly Golishev playing for Avtomobilsk, which is out in Yekaterinburg. And he's doing pretty well. He's got 12 points in 17 games. Plays, you know, roughly like 15, 16 minutes a night on a pretty decent team. I believe last I checked, they were third in the Eastern Conference out in Russia. They're behind the AK Bars and Avangard Omsk. And so he's playing along with Pavel Datsyuk over with Avtomobilis, and they're killing it. But Datsyuk is absolutely killing it. He 42 years of age, 42, 43, still putting up like 20 some odd points. He's pretty close to that. It's absolutely insane. But he's an okay winger, is what he is. He's a good winger at the KHL level. When it comes to the NHL, I don't see anything higher than a middle six. Sorry, than a bottom six.
Do you think he comes over and has a legitimate chance? Like, what's your take on that?
Probably. I know he said like last year, right, that he was looking at houses now. Of course, this was all pre-COVID, right? So who knows what's happened since then. But as well with COVID stuff, like the KHL has a salary cap now, and he's a pretty good player. He's not going to be making a ton of money on the salary cap. I think even $1 million, like American, on the cap is quite a bit. I think that's like 9 million rubles, something of the sorts. And the cap is like 90 million or 900 million. I may have like the decimal off by a little bit, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So he's probably going to want to come over and make a little bit of change, at least at the NHL level. And you would expect like some of the points that he's been putting up somewhere around like a Jan Kovar deal, right? Like a 1 year, $2 million payout, which would be a considerable payout to him. And that wouldn't be terrible for us for what could be a, you know, third line winger. That's not a terrible price point. And no. Maybe let's say 1.5 million. That's not a terrible price point.
No, absolutely not. And I'd rather take a flyer on this guy at, he's 25 years old, going to turn 26 in February. I'd rather take a flyer on him than have to see Leo Komarov or Michael Daukol on that line where, like, I know that we feel like they're the whipping boys, but we know what they are at this point, and we know how much they can elevate their game. And it'd be interesting to see what a guy like this could do. Like, he's popped in, what, 19 goals 2 years ago, 11 in 38 games in 2019. He's got 7 in 18 so far. Like, he could be some decent depth scoring.
Yeah, he's a good player at the KHL level. Whether that translates to the NHL, we'll see.
Right.
Or we may not. I'm not sold on him coming over. I'm at about a 75% he'll probably come over.
Okay.
Whereas 25, like I don't think he's coming. Just because the Islanders could have other options, mainly with some of the players we might see throughout this list that are considerably younger and maybe have more upside.
Now, do we think it's after this year if he would come over, or is it like God knows when kind of thing?
I think it would be now, and if it isn't now, then I don't think he does. And if he does come over, I believe it would be as a UFA. I think after next year, he's a UFA.
Okay.
Although he's a Russian prospect, so no, they'd be there's no UFA on a Russian prospect, as far as I understand.
Right, because that was the whole thing with Sorokin that we're trying to deal with.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't, again, like, he could, but I'm whatever.
Absolutely. All right, so let's move this thing backwards. Who do you want to get to now?
So let's go to Finland, because that's the closest one geographically for going from, you know, the west to the east, or east to west. Sorry, Jesus, Murphy. Okay, so in Finland, we've got four guys there. Let me just space this out so I cannot get all jumbled up in my stuff here. We've got Ruslan Ishkakov, Otto Koivula, Matias Rajaniemi, and Henrik Tikkanen. Those last two guys we just picked up this year at the draft. Rajaniemi was a sixth round pick, if I'm not mistaken, and Tikkanen was the seventh round pick. Yeah, because okay. Tufil was the fifth, right?
Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It went Lundqvist, Jeffries, Tufil, Rajaniemi, Tikkanen.
Yeah.
So let's start with maybe Ishkakov, because he's maybe the more the hotter name out on the block, at least when it comes, like, for me. Mm-hmm. I'm super high on what Ruslan Ishkakov is doing out in Finland. He has 5 points in 8 games. It's been kind of slow over the last little bit, but TPS, who he plays for, hasn't been playing particularly well of late. I would expect that to turn around at a certain point. Like, he's got talent, and he's being given a place to shine. And TPS knows his quality and is going to put him in a position to succeed.
Okay. I love that. That's a great sign. And, I mean, when you look at it, the Islanders don't have a ton of center depth at the prospect pool. So if you can get something out of this kid, that'd be phenomenal, right?
Yeah, because he's a second-round pick from 2018, right?
Yes, correct.
The thing is, he's not very big. He's, what, 5'7", it says here on HockeyDB. Let's say he maybe grew an inch, and or maybe he stood up on his tippy toes when we measure him the next time. Right. He's like 5'8". He's not a very big guy, and he says he weighs 165. Even if you put on a little bit of muscle, he's probably not going to top 180. And the more he adds on, the slower he gets. He doesn't have necessarily explosive speed, but the kid can move around. He's a pretty smooth skater. He's a physical player. He gets down in the down and dirty when he needs to. He's maybe not got the best shot, but my God, is this guy creative. They call him the Moscow Wizard for a reason. Out in Finland, just the stuff that he can pull, my God. Like, he is a very dynamic, creative player. Just think of Josh Hosang-ish. So, like, he's got maybe 80% of Hosang's offensive abilities, and maybe a little bit more, and 25 to 30% more defensive abilities. So, like, he's better defensively by a considerable margin and not really less on the offensive side.
Okay, that's intriguing to me. I know the size is definitely going to be a question mark at the next level, but I'm intrigued, definitely.
He has talent, right? Like, and we've seen small guys who are talented succeed even if they're drafted later on. And this guy wasn't drafted very much later, right? Like, we're talking pretty early second round.
That's right. So that there is a chance that something happens here and that they have something here. So I'd like to see him get some time in the AHL eventually.
Yeah, I would imagine next year. He's got a 1-year deal with TPS. Mm-hmm. I don't imagine that he will leave, although it's possible. Like, Finnish teams are allowing some of these players to go. I don't expect that to be the case for him. I would expect that to be for Koivula. Obviously, he's on loan, so it's not the same thing as Ishkakov, who signed a deal, and he signed it. The Islanders were not expecting him to go pro, right? Like, he was playing at the University of Connecticut. He had been there for 2 years. They were expecting him to play his, I'm going to get this wrong, senior year? No.
Junior,
thank you, God. We don't have those here necessarily, so, like, I'm not used to that. He was going to play his. They all thought he was going to play his junior year, but when COVID hit, he decided to go pro. I've heard that it's because of there's maybe, like, issues where he needs to make money. Whatever that may be, whether that be true or not, doesn't matter. He has gone pro now, and it caught people by surprise. But he's definitely making the best of it in the AHL, or sorry, in Finland, and I would expect next year in the AHL for him.
Okay. Yeah, I love to hear that.
Sorry, but let me just add one caveat to that. Yeah. The Finnish season is already, again, we're 8 games in. They don't play 82 games there. I think the season is like 50 games long. It ends in March, right? And that's if they don't go to, like, the playoffs type of thing, which isn't incredibly long either. As it stands today, the AHL announced that they've pushed things back to February 5th. Like, they're not starting before then. So if they're not starting till February 5th, their season probably going till April, June. Not even much longer than that. Maybe July, I would say.
Yeah, probably. It depends on how many games they're looking to play. But it's going to go into the summer, I'd imagine.
I would imagine. So there's probably going to be a point this season where some of the players who have contracts in Europe, like Ishkov, could see out the entire contract and still come over and play this year.
Interesting. Okay, that's a good point.
Next is Otto Koivula. We all know everything about King Koivula.
Yes, fan favorite.
But he's on fire right now. He's got a 3-game point streak out with HIFK. Well, it's IFK. The H is just for their Helsinki, where he's playing. But yeah, 3-game point streak. Just put up a power play goal today. So he's up to, what is it? I have 2 points, but like that has changed. He's on to 3 points in 5 games.
Okay. Solid.
So again, he just started over. He just started, right? Like he was one of the later additions, or the latest addition in terms of loan moves from the Islanders. And he's playing, again, 15, 16 minutes a night, like on the higher end of the 16, mainly because like he's just an extra player. They're not going to be like hitching their wagon on Koivula.
I have an Otto Koivula take for you, and it relates back to the big club. So assuming that the cap is going to stay where it is for next year as well, they're going to have trouble re-signing Casey Cizikas, so I'm thinking that he can be the fourth-line center replacement if Casey Cizikas does move on, which I don't necessarily want, but if it does happen, then I think Koivula would be a candidate for that role.
Absolutely, for sure. He's making, or his cap hit, his NHL cap hit, is $786,666. He's still on his ELC. So even if they do sign him, assuming they sign him, which would be a fair assumption to make, it's not going to be anywhere near the $3.35 million that Casey Cizikas is making.
Right.
Heck, it's probably going to be a third of that at best. If we've seen anything from Lou, it's probably going to be a $700,000 deal.
Yeah, for
right?
Two
like
years.
The kid's making $70K on his ELC deal right now. So.
Yeah, right. So it'll probably be, yeah, like you said, $700,000, $800,000, something like that.
Yeah, and so when you consider that compared to like you brought up with Cizikas, I think that's a fair take, man.
Yeah, just my 2 cents. Again, I'm not looking for Casey Cizikas to go, but if you are looking to, you know, free up cap room and you have to, then I think Koivula could fill that role. But
yeah, well, they're gonna have to, right? Like again, next year they're gonna need. Well, he's done this year, right? Like that's his last year.
Yeah.
I would imagine, like, because if you're bringing him back, are you really going to pay him more than the 3.35? Because he'll be worth it. You can't.
No, you can't. You can't pay him more than that. You can't.
Because you still have Bo. You're still going to have Pellick to sign, and you're still going to have Sorokin to sign, and then Seeker on top of that. Like everyone loves him, but like, God, like at a certain point, you got to cut bait at some point.
No, you're gonna just if you wanted to sign all four, you're probably going to need $20 million.
Right? Where the Somewhere? Hell are we finding that?
Yeah, I don't know. I really have no idea.
Ugh. Okay. Next, we did Ishkov, Koivula, Matthias Rajaniemi. Okay. So again, sixth-round pick for the Islanders this year. Big kid, right? 6'4", I think 185 was the last measurement. He's only 18, though. Turned 18 in September. So he's a young pup. He's playing 14-plus minutes a night for the Pelicans, who are an okay Finnish team. They're not, like, fantastic. Last I checked, they're kind of, like, middle of the pack in terms of standings. He doesn't play a whole lot, as you would expect an 18-year-old to do, but he's going to be getting a look from the Finnish national team. Like, he could very well be playing in the World Junior Championship this year.
Yeah, that's good. That'd be great if he's able to do that, just get all that experience while you can.
Right, and that's just it, right? So playing... I don't imagine he'll be one of their top pair defenders. Mm-hmm. He'd probably slide in kind of like what he's doing now in the third pair. But he's just a big, solid defensive body. He doesn't really put up a lot of points, but you know we've seen Adam Pellick not put a lot of points, and we still value him greatly. So he's still young. He still has a lot of time. Don't rush this kid, and that's going to come up a lot here.
Yeah. No, of course. A lot of these guys, it's not like you necessarily have to... you know, get these guys in now sort of thing.
Yeah, because I see it with when I update people going like when Lundqvist scored a hat trick. Oh, my God, he's a gem. We'll get to him. But like we have to manage expectations at least a hair here, at least a little bit.
No, totally. 100%.
Next, and finally, the last one in Finland, Henrik Tikkanen, goalie, who is about as tall as a skyscraper, 6'8", absolute beast. He's already 20 years old, which is probably why he went in the seventh round. Right. But so far, so good from him in Finland. He's playing in the lower league, the Mestis, which is, it's not like an AHL league. It's not a developmental league. It's just the lower league. So consider, gotcha, like if they broke the NHL in two, right? The 15, 16 best teams in one league and the lower portion. So like the Detroits and the Ottawas in the bottom portion.
Yeah.
That's where he's playing. But he's playing at the cream of the crop. Like IPK is who he plays for. They're in first or third, depending on how you scratch it. They're first based off points percentage, but like third based off total points. They're one of the better teams, right? Top three teams in that division. He has an 8.99 save percentage over six games and a 2.31 goals against average. He's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You'd probably like that save percentage to go up a little bit, but that goals against average certainly isn't bad.
So let me just pitch this one to you. I'm going to bring up the stats here for him specifically because you bring up a good point. You'd want to see those save percentages go up. And over the last two games, because he played back-to-back, which is impressive because usually you don't see goalies play back-to-back games, specifically right, this early in the season. There's no need for it. But IPK certainly did it. And I'm just trying to find him now. Of course, I'm having a hard time because I'm trying to talk and search at the same time. So Tikkanen has played six games. Like I said before, this is me vamping. So the last two games, he played October 23rd and October 24th. Played the full 60 minutes. He played a little bit of overtime in game two. And has a 9.375, so 0.937 save percentage in game one. And then a 9.03 save percentage in game two.
Okay, that's good.
Right? So pretty good stuff from the guy. And from what I've seen, I saw him play on the 23rd. I watched that one. He's a calm dude in the net. Like, he didn't face a lot of shots. He faced 15 through the entire game.
Oh, wow.
So that kind of helps. But man, he's not scrambling, and he doesn't need to. He's 6'8". He's massive.
No, he goes to the Robin Leonard School of goaltending, where you just take up space and get in position.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. Absolutely.
100%. That's awesome, though. Love that. I'm hoping that I would like to see him make the trip over to the AHL eventually, especially because he's older, too.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are saying that he's 20, he could play, and that's true, although it's different when it comes to AHL kids. Like, we saw Simon Holmstrom play already, right, as an 18-year-old. The 19-year-old rule doesn't apply to European-drafted players. It only applies to CHL-drafted players, Canadian-drafted players. You're drafted from the NCAA, doesn't matter. You can play. So that's the only hiccup there. And he doesn't apply. I don't think he plays at the AHL level. If they bring him over, it's going to be to staff the ECHL, but we'll see when and if that is. Far, so good in a very small sample size.
Correct.
Okay, so that's it for Finland. Next, Sweden, where some of the big guys play, some of the more exciting prospects that we have. And that's no reflection of the league, but just over the caliber of players that we've got there.
Right.
First up, Simon Holmstrom.
All right.
Put up 2 points the other day.
Good.
Finally gets on the score sheet.
Good. We like to see that. We've both written about Simon Holmstrom a little bit recently. So definitely, I think it'd be fair to say that he needs to have a better year this year when he goes back to the AHL. We're assuming he's going back to the AHL when that gets started up, right?
Oh, yeah. He's just on loan. It's not a permanent deal. It's just a loan deal.
Exactly. So definitely he needs to produce more at the AHL level and take a step in the progression this year, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to be counted on more this year in Bridgeport. He's already got a year under his belt. But the thing with Simon Holmstrom that I really want to keep preaching, or what I want to preach when it comes to managing Simon Holm, the expectations put on Simon Holmstrom, is he too is still young. Right? He was the youngest player the youngest professional hockey player in North America last year. The youngest.
Wow. That's pretty impressive, actually. Wow.
Right. Consider that he got drafted in June. He comes over for the start of training camp in September. Mm-hmm. He's never played in North America. He's played under his dad at most of his Swedish hockey career because his dad's a coach for HV71. He's played with family in a comfortable situation where he grew up in Sweden. He gets plucked out of there, plopped in North America, Bridgeport, Connecticut, like totally different than Sweden. Sure, like, you know, it's waterfront, so it's kind of close to what he's used to, but it's totally different. And then it's not only that, you've got to play NHL style hockey when you're used to the big ice out in Sweden. At least in Finland, there's some kind of, it's kind of smaller. In Sweden, it is not.
Right.
Full on Olympic size. That's a huge adjustment. Comes here, does that, and now COVID, boom, back over there, readapt to what's going on over there. That's tough, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts. It is. And, like, I think it would have to take something drastic for the Islanders to be like, okay, we need this kid to play, like, for the big team, like now.
No, he's not. He's not. No, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Unless everyone gets injured.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. So he's kind of afforded that other year of development. My take was basically I would like to see the points per game and him actually staying on the ice. That needs to be a thing because he has been injury prone. So he needs to stay healthy, and he needs to take that step to at least put himself in a position where he is competing for a spot next year. I'm not saying he even has to make the NHL roster next year, but he should be in that conversation where you're like, okay, he's going to get a look, like kind of like what we're talking about with Bellows and Wahlstrom for this year.
Yeah, I think that's going to be tough with guys like Austin Zarnik on the team. Josh Ho-Sang now as well. Although, like, I think you wrote that before, Josh Ho-Sang had signed a deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ho-Sang's number one, Zarnik maybe number two, depending on the injury. And then yeah, maybe he fits, but if Bellows is there, that's three. Yeah, he might be in the top five, I would say. And it also depends on what the hell happens with Oliver Wahlstrom, who we'll get to in a second.
Yep, absolutely. So, all right, glad to hear that Holmstrom's playing well recently.
Yes, he's picked up the production, but definitely I want to manage expectations on Holmstrom. Like, he's had a lot of adapting to do. And don't get me wrong, yes, he's an Islanders prospect, but you better believe that the guys at Vita Hasten are on him saying, like, you need to adapt your game for the bigger ice because here you are. Because they're doing that to Oliver Wahlstrom. I know that for a fact.
Yep. Absolutely.
And even though it's like, I'm only here on loan, I'm just here to play. No, no, you need to adapt to the bigger ice. You know, I'm going back to play on the smaller ice. I don't care.
That's scary. That's a little sketchy.
So, like, which, to be fair, like, they still have to win games, right? So,
yeah, it's a tough situation for those teams because, like you said, they're trying to win. Like, they're trying to do their own thing. And it's like, oh, well, now we're getting this kid who's, you know, trying to figure out how to play at the AHL and the NHL. And it's like, no, now you got to play our way. It's not easy.
At least for Holmstrom, he spent most of his life,
true,
the entirety of his life up to last year, playing on those ice surfaces. It's not much of an adaptation,
right?
But it's a, you know, you got to take Brent Thompson out of your ear and put I forget the name of the coach for Vita Hasten in your ear. So
yeah, maybe it's a good thing then.
Perhaps. So then Oliver Wahlstrom, kind of the same thing ish. So he's out in Sweden playing with AIK. However, he is injured. Took a big tumble in the boards, yes, the other day. In game number six. So he's played five full games, put up 4 points, about as productive as you'd want him to be at the Allsvenskan level, which again is like Mestis, right?
Yeah.
When we talked about Finland, you have the SHL and you have Allsvenskan. It's not AHL in terms of development. It's not a developmental league. It's really the lower tier of like both. If you combine them both, it's this. It's the lower tier of Swedish teams.
Gotcha.
Think of it that way. So he's playing well. His coach thinks that he can score more. So I spoke to Hakan Alun, and he said that Oliver could score more if he gets more. The word I want to use here is lethal, but more proficient in front of the net.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he's not much for doing a lot of damage like Anders Lee styles. Think of it that way.
Okay, so he wants him to be in front of the net more and be a little more, I don't know if physical is the right word, but like, I don't know, use the body more.
What he wants him to be, just more, use the front of the net more effectively,
okay,
to convert, you know, his opportunities into points, which isn't necessarily Wahlstrom's thing. He's a shooter and he can shoot from distance, and look, he's putting up points without doing that. So imagine if he adds that net front presence type of guy who can finish in front of the goal to his game. Forget it, like goals for days.
Yeah.
But he is injured. He's out for 2 weeks. So he's already gone on a week now, so he should be back in a week. I haven't heard anything different from the team, but the team's the one that told me 1 to 2 weeks. So we'll see.
Okay. absolutely. So good on you again for keeping track on that.
Thanks. I'm trying to develop some contacts out over there. So I've got someone I'm speaking to with AIK specifically. It's building relationships with all these other teams so that when we have these prospects, we can know more while they're there.
Absolutely. Makes total sense.
Next, Robin Salo, the horse. While Simon Holmstrom plays for Whitehorse, this guy is an actual horse. He is playing the third most minutes per game than any other player. Sorry. He's the third most played player in the SHL. Not just defensemen, total, of course, excluding goalies. Total. He's averaging 23 minutes, 58 seconds a night.
Jesus, that's a ton of time.
That's a lot of time. He played 28 minutes the other day when they went to overtime. I think they won 4-3 against Frölunda, I'm going to say. I may have got who the opposition was wrong, but they went to overtime. He played like 28 minutes. Absolute beast. And the two other guys who have more ice time than him are like 31-year-old vets.
Yeah, so they've been there and done that. So that's a great sign for Salo then.
Yeah, so he came in from Finland last year, right? Signed a deal. So he signed with Orebro through the year. He's their number one guy. Just absolute workhorse in all situations. That's going to be huge for the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. Not this year, next year. But I say that fully well remembering what I said earlier about, so Orebro's season finishes March 11th, I believe, the regular season. And then they have playoffs, but like their playoffs don't last 2 months like ours do. So like he could very well be here at the tail end of 2021. Could be.
Okay. All right. I'd sign up for that.
Yeah. So like consider that like as a switch for you're adding in Robin Salo as you take out Sebastian Aho, right?
Yeah. I would sign up for that. I think that's a fair trade off.
Yeah, so this guy seems he's perfectly like he's really smart with the puck, just absolute like cerebral type player. Maybe not the greatest skater, but still a fine skater in his own right. Like he can move up and down the ice. I wouldn't say he's Nick Leddy on skates. You know, he's got deceptive speed though, and it's not to like knock. You know, he's not a good skater. No, he's a good skater. It's just he's not the greatest, but he's more positionally aware than someone you'd expect his age to be. Again, he's playing as many minutes as someone who's 31 years old. Think of it that way.
Right. So they that team clearly trusts him, and they are relying on him to play those big minutes. So you'd assume that he'd be able to make that certain transition, at least to the AHL, and be competitive over there with that competition as well.
That's right. And consider that Orebro isn't some like bottom tier team either. They're the fourth best team in the SHL.
Yeah. So like he's doing it on a really good team. So that's great. I love that.
Yeah, so that's huge for them. Next and last in the SHL, Alexander Ljungkrantz, the guy whose name's on everyone's tongue, even though they can't pronounce it.
Right, Ljungkrantz. I didn't do it. Ljungkrantz.
There you go. That's good. Just say L-U-Krantz. Let's go with that way.
Ljungkrantz.
Yeah. He is putting up a ton of points at the U-20 level. He's 14 for 14. So 14 points, 14 games. Awesome. He's playing at the SHL now. They bumped him up already.
Okay.
He skated great. 4 minutes and 14 seconds the other night for Brynäs.
Okay. So not a ton of time.
No, but again, he's 18.
Yeah. No, that's huge. That'd be like an 18-year-old playing over here.
Exactly, right? Exactly. Because he is very much playing in an AHL type of situation. He's playing for the Brynäs under-20 team, basically their B squad, their developmental team, just like the AHL, and he's putting up point per game. And keep in mind, he's playing on a very defensive-minded team. Like, their philosophy is very much like the Islanders. It's not run-and-gun offenses. We are responsible everywhere. We make sure we cover the defensive. Yes, we'll put up points. Don't worry about that. But we want to make sure we suffocate the other team and don't allow them to do anything.
I, for one, am shocked that Lou Lamoriello and Barry Trotz found that kid.
So he's playing SHL right now. I reached out to the team just to make sure, though, that we're not reading too much into that because there is kind of like a schedule. I'm not going to say issue because it's not an issue, but there's a schedule thing that we might have to consider. So okay. Brynäs is playing this week. They've got two games to play this week, whereas Brynäs under 20 played at the beginning of the week, and they have a week off before they play again.
Mm.
So like it kind of makes sense to, well, rather than keep our point per game guy not doing anything, let's have him play, even if it's like 4 minutes a night, with the team that we're probably going to promote him to next year anyways.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I just want confirmation on that from the team itself. I imagine that's the case because that makes a lot of sense. But we'll see what they say. Maybe they want to keep him around. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I didn't even think of it like that. But yeah, we've seen that stuff before where guys would be sent down to the AHL during the NHL week off and stuff to, keep pace and stuff.
Exactly. I've heard, like, do we have a gem here? Let's hold off on that, okay? Like, yes, it's exciting. He's got 14 points in 14 games. This guy was drafted in the third round. Oh, my God. And, like, he shouldn't have been drafted. Some of the scouts that I've spoken to are like, we did not have him on our draft board at all, whatsoever. So, like, this was a stretch to take him to the third round. There's something there, but, like, this is going to be a project. He's not going to be here next year. He's not going to be here this year, for sure. He's probably not going to be here next year. Maybe if Lou tries to go the same route as Simon Holmstrom, but I think that would be quite a stretch.
Yeah, I'm with. He's 18 also, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I don't think we see him for a couple more years.
Yeah, but so far so good. Like, some of these draft picks, they looked sketch, but they're going, all right, well, there could be something there. It's fun to see, you know, the doubt in the scouting staff, because we go, why are you doing that? And then you see, like, all right, okay, I see you there. I see what you did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, and I'm glad that he's producing as, you know, much as he is early on. I agree with you. I think we should temper our expectations just for right now.
Yeah, so, and we'll see what happens with some of our other guys. Like, again, the AHL just said, like, February 5th. So what happens with guys like Bodie Wild or Samuel Bolduc? Or, I don't know, Kiefer Bellows, what do? They just sit there, right, and twiddle their thumbs till February? That's not great.
No, I don't love that. So we're definitely going to have to look at those guys, too, and see if they end up anywhere.
Right. So, like, and again, like, we don't have OHL players who say now, I think the OHL is set on starting in January. We don't have OHL players. We don't. We didn't draft a single one. We drafted a QMJHL player. And then Alex Jeffries is in the NCAA. Merrimack, I think it is, isn't it?
I believe so. Yes, that sounds familiar.
So, like, but then we still have other guys like Blade Jenkins, who just signed, right? What are we doing with him?
Yeah, he's kind of just, what, sitting around, twiddling thumbs?
I don't know what to do. Obviously, I don't know. I'm not the one there, but, like, they've got to figure out what to do with some of these guys who are just sitting around not doing nothing.
Right. Exactly. So thank you for all those updates, man. And definitely, if you're listening and enjoyed this, follow along with Mitch at TLO Mitch and get all your, you know, daily prospect updates.
It is daily. So I say who's playing at the beginning of the day, and then I see what happened to all those players at the end of the day. It's great.
Absolutely. So let's move this thing along. Let's get into arbitration a little bit. So Josh Hosang was supposed to have an arbitration meeting coming up, but he settled with the Islanders, signing a deal.
How do you feel about it?
Fine, I guess. I was surprised that he went to or filed for arbitration. Not necessarily stunned that something happened before arbitration, but we'll see. My expectations are really low. And that's not to say that I don't like, Josh was saying the prospect. I am still interested in his game. I don't know how many times we're going to run this back year after year.
Right? It just feels like we were at the end, and then the Islanders are like, oh, no, we're going to qualify him. And you're going, okay, but why? Again, just like you said very well, it's not that I don't like Hosang the person or the player. It's you guys have been at war with each other since 2014. Maybe it's time to just end things.
Yeah, we did it last week. We talked about the toxic relationship. That's what it is.
Exactly. And so they're back in it. They're like, let's give it a shot. You know, they kind of like, they bought the dog, right? So it's a couple who've been at war with each other and break it on. No, let's get a dog. And that should bring us together, something to unite us. And that's the Islanders with this one-year contract at $700,000 and $225,000 in the minors.
Oh, boy. This could be so bad.
It could be. So, like, this is clearly why he went through arbitration. I know a lot of us were asking questions, me included, about why he wanted to go through arbitration. Clearly, he didn't want to sign that qualifying offer, which was probably going to just guarantee him a $70,000 paycheck at the minors, which he knows he's going to be playing at unless he puts up like the best camp of camps ever. Now he's got a $225,000 paycheck at the minors level. That's a 320%+ raise. That's huge.
Yeah, right. That makes a massive difference, and that doesn't really do anything to the Islanders cap. So if he can get it, sure.
Exactly. Now, what he does with it, we'll see. That's going to be the sticking point. Obviously, not to as in, was this worth it? It's just to see like why did we do this and why did he do that as well. We'll see what he does throughout the year, right? Because he's got to get to the NHL level this year. He can't not make the NHL this year.
I don't know how he does. I don't know how he does make it.
Well, the only way he does is if he performs, right? We've seen him like put up a ton of points. You remember just last year when he came out and said like the Islanders didn't want him on the team or were treating him unfairly and had made up their mind before camp even started. And then he goes on a tear at the AHL.
Yeah, that's right. He was on fire in the AHL.
He put up 10 points in those four games after that comment.
Yeah.
10 points. Three games with at least 2 points. Sorry, not even at least. Three games with 2 points and then one game with four.
Yeah, he was a man on a mission.
That's insane.
I know it's the AHL, but still, he was a man on a mission for sure.
That's just it. So he's got to be able to do that more consistently. Obviously not every night, but he clearly can be a dominant player. He's just going to have to show it and force the Islanders' hand at some point, a la Devin Taves and Michael Del Cole, to bring them on board.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I really hope that he does get that chance. I am rooting for him. I tweeted that. I said I'm rooting for Josh Hosang. I just don't know what's possible, you know, what's possible in this situation.
It's going to have to be, like you said, an injury. I don't see him making it out of camp unless they don't sign Derek Brassard and they're like, Josh, the spot is yours because you have a $700,000 cap hit. But I don't see that happening. I would imagine if they find a way to bring in someone like Derek Brassard. But throughout the year, if Josh Hosang is putting up buckets and buckets and buckets of points, they're going to go like, we've got to bring this guy up. We can't not. This is just stupid.
Yeah. So I'm rooting for him to put up those buckets of points. That'd be really nice.
Agreed. And with guys like Austin Zarnak playing, who's like a point per game plus player at the AHL level, that should certainly help Hosang.
Yes, absolutely. And Ryan Pulak is set for arbitration, I believe next month, right? Early next month?
November 6th, yeah.
There you go. So we still have a little bit of time for him to get his arbitration. Do you think it gets to that point, Mitch, or no?
Maybe.
Okay.
I just don't know what he thinks he's worth. Because then you see a guy like we're going to get to with Devin Taves getting $4.1 million a year. And you're saying, well, I'm a number one guy. He was, at best, a number two guy. The hell am I worth then? Like, if he's getting 4.1 at a $5.9 million payout in year four, I'm owed six plus, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't see a scenario in which he gets less than $6 million. I think you're looking at $6.625, $6.5 million, something like that. Charting Hockey had him evaluated at, I think it was 7.29 against the cap, which I don't think it will get to that point, but it just goes to show you like what his market could potentially be.
Yeah, like I'd rather see Evolving Wild's numbers on that. I don't know what they valued him because they're pretty close with their contract predictions. But if we're looking up to $7 million, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money that the Islanders just don't have.
I don't think it gets I don't think it gets that high. Like I said, I think 6.5 is the ceiling, I don't know. I really don't know.
They have to make sure it doesn't get to arbitration. They being the Islanders, obviously, because you don't want to let an arbitrator set that. Because if an arbitrator comes in at 7, are you really going to walk away from Ryan Pulock?
No. You can't. You can't afford to. After trading Devon Taves, you really can't. Well, even if you kept Devon Taves, I don't think you could afford to walk away from Ryan Pulock.
No, you can't do that. So if you know you're not going to get him locked in and you're afraid of arbitration, call up Winnipeg. Call up Winnipeg right now and just be like, you know what? We're not going to get this guy signed at a number we want. And if we do sign him at that $7 million It's going to screw everything up, including Matthew Barzal. We can't have that happen because we need Matthew Barzal more. We're going to roll the dice by bringing in Patrick Laine and putting Noah Dobson up top. I don't see them doing that. That's why I wanted to get done before arbitration. But like, if Lou feels that, that's probably going to be his recourse.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that would be the play. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I wouldn't be too confident, to be honest with you. I'm not saying that I'm down on Noah Dobson. I wrote that he can have an increased role, but like on the third pair. Like I want him and Andy Green to man that third pair.
Would you do first pair Nick Leddy, Scott Mayfield? Second pair Adam Pellick, Noah Dobson? Third pair Thomas Hickey and Johnny Boychuk? Because I don't imagine we move him in this case.
Wow, Hickey Boychuk, what year is this? So this is 2017? Jesus Christ. That's sketchy. That's really sketchy, man.
I'm there. But, like, I don't know what else to do. And, of course, this is worst-case scenario. This is you're no way you're getting Pollock signed. I imagine he does. Like, if he's looking at seven and the team says, look, we can offer you max 6.5 before everything gets screwy, I imagine he takes a $500,000 hit to be like, all right, I'm good for this for the team. Like, I'll take that hit for the team.
Yeah, I think something gets done in the next week and a half. I don't think it gets to arbitration.
I hope it does. I really hope it doesn't.
No, absolutely. Anything else on arbitration before we get into Devontae's?
No, the closer we get to finding out how the other dominoes fall. Ryan Pollock is the domino. Once that falls, everything else is going to start clicking into place.
Absolutely. So Devontae's, who the Islanders traded a couple of weeks ago for 2 second round picks, signed with the Colorado Avalanche. And I think, Mitch, we finally got the closure on why Lou Lamoriello decided to move him, because 4 years at $16.4 million is a lot of money for Devontae's.
I hope he's worth it. I'm not saying he's not worth it. The Islanders certainly could not afford that. There's no way.
No, absolutely not. They probably couldn't go more than three.
Right? And so, like, you're a million off, and that's your ceiling. So, like, sorry, bud, we have to move you, because there's no way we can give you what you're looking for.
No, absolutely. And that stinks. And certainly, I think Colorado's taking a little bit of a risk, but it could pay off for them. And I think he can be pretty good there, especially, you know, in their more of an offensive system in Colorado. So, you know, maybe he does put up a ton of points over there and turn into somebody who they put on the top pair. But I just don't think it was going to work like that here.
No, it just, there's no way they can give him a $4.1 million cap hit, or like he's getting $5.9 million at the end of the year. At the end of the contract, that's a lot of change. Is he going to be worth top pair money, essentially? I don't know about that.
I don't know. To me, I think he's a good second pairing guy. I think if you're putting him on your top pair, it's a risk right now. I don't know. They're willing to take that gamble. Then in a couple of years, he's going to be the top pair guy.
Yeah, like, his numbers are okay, are good even. His eye test is like, he's great offensively, not so great defensively. His underlying numbers are absolutely glowing. Like you put those in the Louvre, they're so beautiful to look at, his underlying numbers.
Yeah, I guess it depends. It all depends on how much you value those.
That's just the thing, right? It's like, he could, on paper, be worth more than this, but we know the game isn't played on paper.
True, and I don't know if we've necessarily seen it yet to justify the $4 million.
Exactly. For Colorado, I hope so, and for him, like, obviously he's a great person and a good player. Hopefully it works out and he gets to earn that and more. Certainly he's worked his butt off to get where he is, so to get paid, good job by him.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it works out there, but like I said, I think we've finally realized why Lou Lamoriello pulled the trigger. Because there's no way. So no. Maybe that 2 second round picks wasn't such a bad thing.
It definitely isn't. It definitely is not. Like, it's a good trade. The Islanders maybe didn't get everything they could have got out of someone of his value, but we have to have all the extenuating context around it, and 2 seconds is pretty good. Again, Nate Schmidt went for a third, so let's chill out a second here.
Yeah, context is key, right, Mitch?
Correct.
Want to get into the quiz?
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
Welcome to the 167th episode of the Eyes on Isles podcast. Matt, this time there's no way you're going to get this one on the first guess. It's just not going to happen. I've made sure of it, kind of. I couldn't find someone who's played exactly 167 games for the Islanders, so I found someone who's scored 167 helpers for the Islanders.
Okay.
So for those at home that haven't played or are new to this game, I give Matt five guesses to figure out a player that I have in mind. Each guess is progressively easier. Last week he got it on the first one because he cheated, I bet.
No.
I don't know how he hacked into my notepad, but he figured it out.
No, please.
All right. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
One, I was born in Hull, Quebec. Do you even know where Hull is?
I don't know. Like, geography is not my thing, man. It's north of me, I can tell you that.
It's right next to Ottawa. Where I can see it from my house.
Okay, there you go.
Two, maybe I shouldn't have given you that. Anyways, two, see what you're doing here? That's the cheating. You conned me into these things.
Buttered you up.
Two, I was a radio color commentator for the Isles. For the Isles after my playing days. My mouth stopped working on that second one there. My God.
Okay, next.
Okay. I have two cups with the Isles, but it's debatable if I qualify for at least one of them.
Okay, so someone from the 80s.
Yep. Well,
okay,
from
next.
That, yeah.
Yeah, next.
The Islanders traded for me to help convince a draft pick to play for them.
To convince it. This is a guess. This could be bad if it's wrong. Is it Jean Potvin?
It is.
Oh, let's go.
Good job, buddy. Good job. Okay. All right, the last one was that draft pick was my brother, who is a pretty famous player for the Isles and in the NHL.
All right.
And that brother was Danny Potvin, right? They traded with Philadelphia to bring in Jean Potvin to help convince Danny, although I think Danny's mind was made up regardless of Jean being there.
Right. That was just when you said to help bring someone in, that was my educated guess. So it worked.
It worked. Very educated by you.
Thank you. Two in a row.
Good job. And I think there's a tweet that I wanted to share here from the Islanders on this subject specifically. This isn't for the social that we're just about to get into.
Okay.
But this was shared on October 27th, so just yesterday. 47 years ago, Denny Potvin scored his first NHL goal, and the Isles got their first win over the Rangers. Wild times.
Wow. What a time to be alive.
47 years ago. Jeez, that was a while ago.
Long time ago. All right, let's get into the socials. Wow, words aren't doing it for us on this episode. Let's get into the social segment. There we go. Enunciating is a thing. What do you got for us, Mitch?
Oh, yeah, I've got three things. First one is from Alex, AJ Sodi. The Isles have no cap space to do anything but be a worse team than last year, period. End of story. Jeez, did someone call the negative Nancy parade? Like, come on now.
I don't know. I don't know if I buy that, but sure.
I don't buy the there's nothing better that can happen this year. Well, they could put up a better regular season effort than they did last year. That's for darn sure. Can they absolutely with this team get past the Eastern Conference Finals? Maybe. Maybe not. But at least put up a better regular season record. There's a lot of room for improvement on this team. We've brought it up multiple times with Anders Lee. Anthony Beauvillier is like one of the worst PDO guys on the team. So like his luck's about to change. And Nick Leddy is going to be putting up points this year. It's just going to happen based off a deployment alone. He had like a minute and 13 average on the power play last year. He's usually at like 230 on average. He's going to get back to that kind of deployment. And with Anders Lee putting up goals on the power play, like we expect him to, Letty's going to put up points too.
Maybe we're getting 35, 40 point Nick Leddy. That'd be nice.
Right? Like, I'm not convinced it's going to happen, but it's certainly a possibility. So I'm not with Alex here to say that this is going to be terrible. It's only going downhill from here.
No, I have no room for negativity like that in my life.
Sorry. Sorry, Alex, I'm throwing you under the bus, but we have too much positivity. I wanted to bring some negativity. So, Alex, okay. If you're a generally a positive guy, thank you.
So, NHL Network tweeted, the top defenseman in the NHL is blank. Let us know your choice. And they listed off 25 defensemen. And Adam Pellick was not on the list, and a lot of Islanders fans were upset about it. But I ask you, Mitch, should he have been on that list?
It depends on what the, like, there's no criteria. So, like, yes, I think so. If they're saying, like, well, who's the best guy at, like, protecting the blue line? Well, like, because there's no impartiality here. So, yeah, absolutely. Like, we saw what happened when he wasn't around versus when he was. It was night and day. On a defensive team, right? Like the third best, I think it is, defensive team in the league over the last 2 years. And you take their number one defensive defenseman away and they sink. I don't know. To me, that shows a lot of credit. Carey Hart basically won a Hart trophy because... Sorry, Carey Hart. Carey Price. I called him the Carey Hart because of that. Carey Price won a Hart trophy effectively on the back of, I wasn't there and Montreal sank to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
Same thing with Adam Pellick.
Yeah, my thing is, not that he's not a great defenseman, I just don't think he fits with the rest of the names on here. They're all guys who put up points.
Yeah, like you got your Hedmans, your Carlsons, right? Your Burns, Pietrangelo. Yeah.
Dougie Hamilton, Roman Josi, Zach Werenski, Shea Weber. Like, these aren't the Adam Pellick-like guys. So I don't think, while I think he is good, I don't know if he fits what they were looking at because... none of the other 25 guys who are on the list are anything like Adam Pellick.
No, exactly. And like there's something to be said about being able to put up points like all these guys do on the back end and still provide defensive cover like most of these guys do. Like Yossi's a pretty good defenseman in his own end, plus he's got that extra edge that Adam Pellick does not have. He's definitely a one-dimensional defenseman. He's just really good in that one dimension.
Right. Like, honestly, I think you can make a stronger case for Ryan Pulak to be included on this list than Adam Pellick. And not knocking Adam Pellick, but just based on what they are looking at.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, for sure.
Absolutely. What else you got for social?
This one comes from Alan Furing. So he's a play-by-play voice for the Sound Tigers. And okay. He says, Isles lock up a handful of RFAs this morning. So they locked up the four. Nearly 700 games of experience in the AHL between these four. That's huge right there, because they have a pretty inexperienced core of players that are going to stock that AHL squad. And then they get guys like AJ Greer and I said earlier, Austin Zarnik coming in as well. That's going to be huge for them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We tend to forget how bad Bridgeport was last year. So getting some veteran experience in there is not the worst thing in the world.
Right. Worst team in the league last year. Like that's rough.
Yeah, that's not great. Last one for me comes from Matt Barzal's Instagram.
Oh, yes.
And it says, don't forget your helmet, kids. At Matt Martin would be proud. And it's him wearing a helmet, obviously, but he's got a mustache. What is your take on a Matthew Barzal mustache?
It looks good, first off. Good job by him getting that on there. It's very full, and it's, from what I can tell, it has volume. I can't get that much volume on mine, and I'm 36 years old. But I assume it's a Halloween costume idea, although, like, where are you going to show off this Halloween costume?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really a mustache guy.
Right.
If you're going for someone who is as good-looking as him, like, he don't need a mustache. A little bit of scruff? Okay, sure. But, like, he's a really good-looking guy. The mustache kind of throws it off a little bit, no?
Yeah. Do you think Lou like just dropped his tablet because he's like 75 years old? I assume he only looks at tablets and just dropped it on the ground and just shunned like, oh, what is happening?
That and his bowl of fruit instantly on the floor.
Just hating the sight of it, calling up Matt Martin. Why did he put your, what are you making these kids do? Tell them to stop.
He just revoked the handshake deal that he's had with Matt Martin for the last month.
Barzal just threw him under the bus. Unbelievable. My last one here comes from AHL Communications. I said it earlier, so I kind of gave it away. The targeted start date for the 2021 AHL regular season has been moved to February 5th.
Okay.
And that's targeted again. So that could still move. So when we're talking, like we said earlier, about some of these AHL guys who have not been worked over with loans or moved over in loans, and we're still seeing some of these loan happens, right? Like, I forget what team it was, but they moved someone over to the Zurich Lions today. That's Austin Matthews' old team. Like, you can still get guys over there. So I would imagine with this news that the Islanders probably move one or two of these guys. Ideally, Bodie Wild, if they can, because of his... He hasn't skated much over the last year and a bit, right? Like, he's been injured most of last year. And finally, when he got to the OHL to start up again, they're like, oh, COVID, sorry. I think he got like 10 games in or something.
Yeah, I would definitely like to see him to, you know, get going a little bit. I'm still high on Wild. I think he's someone who has a legitimate chance at the next level. So I would like to get him back on the ice as soon as possible.
Yeah, so that's one of the guys. Maybe Bellows, because I imagine they might want to use him this year. But, like,
right,
we'll see what happens. But, like, the fact that it moves to February 5th as a target date, woof, that's rough.
That's tough, absolutely. So before we go, let's just get a couple of plugs in here. So wherever you are listening to this show, if you can please subscribe, give a rating and review. That really helps us out a lot. We appreciate all the love and support from you guys. Really, it goes a long way, and we appreciate it. So if you could do that for us, it would be great. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You can download our app, the Eyes on Isles app, available for iPhone or Android. You can visit the website, eyesonisles.com. And of course, Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month gets you a ton of content over there and a great community of Islanders fans. So we got a mailbag show, which we're going to record in a little bit. You got a live stream with Mitch. You got a newscast with Mitch. And we do other podcasts throughout the week as well on deep dives on topics, because there's no games. So during the season, we do post-game shows. Right now, there's no games, so we're doing deep dives on topics. Ton of fun. Check it out, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. That'll do it for us on episode 167. Once again, I'm Matt O'Leary. He's Mitch Anderson, and we will talk to you next time.